When she was adopted into a prestigious Spanish family, she was put on the path to having everything she could ever want in life. But why did they adopt her if they were just going to cut her life short? And how many times did they try to kill her before they succeeded? This is the story of Assunta Bastera, the little girl brought from China to Spain before her parents drugged and murdered her. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On September 22nd, 2013, a man and his friend drove toward one of Santiago, Spain's bar/brothels in the late evening/early morning. His license had been taken away for drunk driving one too many times, but he figured he could get away with going somewhere close to home. Under the glow of the moon, the two men spotted something, or someone, strange from the car. It looked like a scarecrow. But it was a girl lying on a layer of pine needles just feet from the road. Her sweatsuit was caked in mud, her shirt pulled up to reveal her stomach. She was wearing no shoes, and there was blood beneath her nose. Everyone immediately knew who she was. The little Asian girl had been featured on the front page of the local newspaper and paraded on TV. She was the first of her kind in the tiny Spanish town. Her name back in China had been Yang Fang, and she was born on September 30th, 2000. The Sun reports that she had been in the care of her grandparents until they died, and then she was sent to an orphanage. But in June 2001, she was adopted by a lawyer named Rosario Porto and her travel journalist husband, Alfonso Bastera. They had met in 1990 through a mutual friend when she was 21 and he was 26 years old. After 6 years of dating, they married in Santiago, and now they were in their 30s and wanted a baby, but Rosario's doctor had cautioned her against getting pregnant due to her autoimmune disease, lupus. Her parents encouraged them to adopt, but it had become so difficult to adopt a baby in Spain with the low birth rates and the strict laws, so they looked to China. The couple had an ideal life to add a baby to from abroad. Rosario came from an important family who would shower a new little girl with love. Her parents had mostly been absent during her childhood because of their busy professional careers, so she was determined to give her daughter a different experience. Their friends were progressive people who would no doubt look kindly on the good deed they were doing for humanity by adopting. Rosario and Alfonso had a huge apartment that reflected the art and culture they loved, and they wallpapered the baby's bedroom in clouds and suns to welcome her. Rosario called her husband patient, easygoing, and understanding. One friend called them aristocracy. They brought their 9-month-old home to her amazing new life after 2 weeks of navigating red tape in China. They named her Assunta Yang Fang Bastera Porto, keeping her given name and adding theirs. She was underweight and sickly at first, but that was no problem for Rosario and Alfonso, who had the money and the contacts to get her the best healthcare. Assunta grew healthy and surpassed all expectations over time. She was a gifted child, so ahead of her class that she skipped a year of school. She learned English, French, Chinese, and German in addition to Spanish. She took lessons in ballet and different musical instruments like the violin and the piano. Her parents encouraged her but didn't want to push her too hard. It didn't matter, though. It was usually Assunta who was asking for the extra classes. She was not only talented but also outgoing and fun, at least at home with her parents and nanny. The nanny said they seemed like an idyllic family. But by 2013, Rosario wanted to divorce Alfonso. She had recently spent time in a psychiatric hospital, wanting to end things because she felt competition with her own mother and annoyance with her preteen daughter. She had suffered from anxiety, depression, and crippling low self-esteem since she was a student herself. It didn't help that both her mother and father died in a period of 7 months. Even while describing her mother as charmingly awful, with a personality like a lawnmower, Rosario felt the loss of the family's matriarch, and her husband wasn't helping things. She viewed him as an underachiever because he worked sporadically, even if he made up for it by doing all of the housework and cooking. He found out about her affair with a married businessman who was expecting a child while snooping in her email. So they divorced, and he left for a small apartment nearby where he could still help raise Assunta. When Rosario had a nervous breakdown later that year, it was Alfonso who was by her side, helping to care for her and making meals for his girls again. On the day Assunta died, she and her mom ate with her dad, played some cards, and watched some TV, just like a normal family. Rosario and Alfonso reported her missing at 10:17 p.m. on September 21st, 2013. Rosario said she had been doing homework at 7 p.m. when Rosario went for a drive to their country home 20 minutes away to pick up some swimwear. When she arrived back home at 9:30, Assunta was gone. She checked with Alfonso, and they checked with some of Assunta's friends. No one knew anything. Alfonso told one of the inspectors that Assunta was probably dead, but he hoped she hadn't been assaulted, which is a weird thing to say. At 4:45 a.m., the police had to tell the parents about the body that had been found. The only thing Rosario and Alfonso could think is that the murder must have something to do with the man who had broken into their house earlier that summer. Rosario had accidentally left keys in the lock to their apartment one night in July. Assunta screamed at 2 a.m. as she awoke to find a man wearing latex gloves standing over her. Rosario scared the man off, and Assunta later texted a friend, "Today someone tried to kill me." But Rosario never reported anything to the police, nor to her neighbors. She said she didn't want to scare Assunta more than she already had been, which seems strange to the police now. The parents were questioned about Assunta's death, of course, but no one in their circle suspected them. A local TV presenter who knew the family said she would walk through fire to prove Rosario's innocence. But there was just one little problem. A security camera at a gas station had caught Rosario's Mercedes driving toward their country home on September 21st, and beside her was a little girl with long hair. When, of course, according to her story, Assunta had been back at the apartment doing homework. So Rosario changed her story and said, "Oh yeah, I did bring Assunta with me, but I just forgot because my nerves were shot and I was taking pills at the time." The other thing is that when police questioned Rosario at her country home, she asked to go to the bathroom, but instead took off for another room. It was a room that had a trash can with some orange twine tossed in it, the same kind of twine that was found next to Assunta's body and had probably been used to tie her up. But of course, lots of people have twine in the country, so it wasn't quite a smoking gun. Suspicious enough, though. And Assunta's autopsy revealed that her system was full of lorazepam, an anti-anxiety medication that Rosario was known to take. Poor Assunta had been drugged and then asphyxiated. Rosario was arrested and they took Alfonso in too, because it seemed like the slight woman couldn't have lifted her daughter all alone. His alibi was that he'd been cooking or reading at his apartment at the time of the murder with his phone off. She said her phone's battery had run out. Convenient. But their phones were fully functioning at Assunta's funeral, where they were both caught taking photos of her coffin that the media called out as selfies. Apparently there was a piece of glass between them and the white coffin, and they aligned their photos so that they each showed up in the reflection of the glass. It could just be a coincidence, of course. Maybe they're bad photographers, but maybe not. As investigators dug into the family's dark secrets, they found that Assunta's teachers said she would sometimes show up to class like she was drunk, stumbling around and unable to focus. She would say her parents had made her take some white powders, but she didn't trust them to tell her the truth about what they were. A forensics team concluded from a hair strand test that Assunta had probably been drugged in low amounts for 3 months leading up to her murder. Investigators also found that the dynamic among Rosario and Alfonso was not exactly what everyone thought it was. He was seen as this milquetoast pushover who was controlled by his domineering wife, even now that they were exes. One coworker called him a dead mosquito. But in jail, the two were put in side-by-side cells so the police could overhear them talk to each other, and Alfonso would yell silence at Rosario when he felt she was saying too much. They also found out that he had been known to hit her. Rosario and Alfonso went to trial in October 2015, both pleading not guilty. Rosario claimed that she last saw Assunta when she dropped her off at their apartment the night before she died. She said they had taken a quick trip to their country home when Assunta started to feel ill, so Rosario dropped her off and continued to run some errands. She said she had no knowledge of anyone giving any anti-anxiety drug to her daughter, but that when you are depressed, you can scarcely look after yourself. But the day after that man broke into their home, well, I call it a break-in, but they left the keys in the lock, Alfonso went to the pharmacy for 50 tablets of lorazepam. In the month of July alone, he ended up buying 125 tablets. Overall, he bought 175 in 10 weeks thanks to lying to his doctor for a prescription and finding a friendly pharmacist who would help him out. Alfonso said Assunta just had allergies, and he had only given her pills for that. Even if you buy that story, it's really suspect that after Assunta's murder, his laptop conveniently disappeared for weeks. When it suddenly reappeared in his apartment, it had been wiped clean, just like his phone had been. But forensics experts were able to recover plenty of the deleted material, and it's exactly as gross as you think it is. Not only were there sexual images of young Asian girls, but one of those young Asian girls was his own daughter. She appears in the photos in a ballet-type costume that included a corset and fishnet stockings with her legs spread. In some, she's sleeping in a tightly bound blanket. His DNA was also found in her underwear from the day that she was murdered, although it was probably another biological fluid and not semen. Still, it didn't look good for him. One witness testified that on the night Assunta was murdered, Alfonso called her husband and said Assunta was missing. The husband missed the call at the time, so the witness called back later, and Rosario gave her an entire rundown of her day, like she was making a statement. The witness found it a little weird at the time, but she later realized it was probably Rosario trying to create an alibi. Assunta wouldn't have even been dead when Alfonso originally called them about her being missing. A teenage witness testified that on the night of the murder, she saw Alfonso on the street with Assunta at 6:20 p.m. She knew the girl well because they were in French class together. So even if Alfonso didn't participate in the actual murder, he would have been very aware that his daughter beside him was heavily drugged. And also, he was supposedly at home reading or cooking at this time, according to his alibi. Prosecutors believe that Alfonso may have been in the car with Rosario and Assunta that was spotted on CCTV driving toward their country home. He may have been crouched down in the back seat area. The best guess is that the couple gave Assunta 27 pills mixed into her water at dinner, took her to the country home, tied her hands and feet with the twine found in the trash can so she couldn't fight back, and smothered her. Then they left her body in the ditch nearby. They had been drugging her for months as a sort of rehearsal. It took the jury 3.5 days to decide, but Rosario Porto and Alfonso Bastera were both convicted of aggravated murder. On November 12, 2015, each was sentenced to 18 years in prison. Neither can have any sort of parental authority or custody during this time. Later, the Superior Court and Supreme Court stood by the conviction, saying that there are 31 pieces of incriminating evidence against the couple. They're totally guilty. Apparently, the two reconciled while awaiting trial for those 2 years. At trial, Alfonso called Rosario the mother that every girl would like to have, and she called him the perfect father. But their lives in prison were very different. His friends from the outside visited often and wrote letters, while she had to make new friends on the inside. Maybe it's because she came from such high society, no one wanted to be associated with a murderer. It said that she was tormented by the trial and cried nonstop in prison. In November 2020, 50-year-old Rosario was awakened at 8 a.m. as usual by prison guards. When she didn't show up for breakfast soon after, they went to check on her. And there in her cell, they found from a tied to her window frame. This wasn't her first attempt, nor even her second. She had tried taking a dose of her in February 2017 and tried in the shower with in November 2018. She would have been eligible for weekend leave from prison in 4 or 5 years. Alfonso reportedly burst into tears when he learned of her death. He's been eligible to request weekend leave for more than 5 years, but never has. Some say it would never be granted to him anyway because he's still never taken responsibility for Assunta's murder. Prison guards say he considers himself intellectually superior to the other prisoners and has no friends. More than 10 years later, people still ask why Assunta's parents killed her. Apparently, Alfonso never wanted children, but Rosario's parents pressured them. One theory suggests that Rosario and Alfonso first killed Rosario's parents, and then Assunta knew their secret. Rosario's mom and dad did both die suddenly, just months apart, when they seemed to be in good health. A large inheritance would have been left to Rosario upon their deaths. Autopsies were never performed. If Assunta was annoying to her parents, they could have easily sent her to boarding school with Rosario's family money. Rosario had spent time abroad as a child herself. She was sent to Paris on scholarship but returned after only 3 months due to depression. A psychiatrist said Rosario found that while she was privileged in Spain thanks to her family's connections, she was just another person in France. Her narcissism wouldn't allow for that. Rosario had felt overwhelmed by her parents' expectations for her, and maybe that's the problem. She sent Assunta to the same school she'd gone to and signed her up for the same hobbies she'd enjoyed in her youth, Of course, she couldn't send Assunta to one of the schools she claimed to have gone to, the London High School of Law, because it doesn't exist. But while Rosario was just an okay student, Assunta excelled. Maybe Rosario's narcissism also wouldn't allow for her child to be more gifted than she was. Another theory for the murder goes that Rosario had finally divorced her bland husband and started a new relationship with this motivated businessman. Maybe she wanted to break free of Alfonso completely, and Assunta was the thing that tied her to him. And maybe Alfonso went along with the plot, hoping his ex would be forever indebted to him if he knew her secret. She couldn't leave him then. Or maybe they viewed Assunta like they viewed all of their material possessions. They could have whatever they wanted, and when they were done with it, they just threw it away like so much twine in a trash can. Whatever the case, the one thing that makes me sick is that Rosario rests in her family grave and Assunta's ashes have been placed beside her. At least China has now tightened its rules for who can adopt. Thank you to La Voz de Galicia for their excellent and extensive reporting on this case. The Netflix miniseries, The Assunta Case, premieres on Netflix on April 26th. In the meantime, please let me know what you think about this case in the comments. Do you think Rosario left the keys in the lock on purpose? Was that her original plot to get rid of her daughter? Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.